the previous installment, we began to relate the story which was told by the Friedeke Rebbe about a simple Jew called Rabbi Lezer Lippe, who was a Yosem at a very early age, whose parents passed away when he was very young, married a Yosema, and they had two children. One Elimelech, and about 5-6 years later, they had a second child, Zushia, Meshulam Zushia, and these children were born after 10 years of marriage. The first one was born after 10 years of marriage, and the second one 5-6 years later, and although they did their best to see to it that their children, Elimelech and Meshulam Zushia, succeed in their learning, the children were weak physically and mentally weak as well, and never were able to succeed in their learning. And Rabbi Lezer Lippe and his pious wife did everything to see to it that their children succeed in Limud HaTorah and Avodas Hashem, in learning Torah and serving God, to the extent that once after Rabbi Lezer Lippe heard from the Baal Shem Tov, who was traveling incognito, the story about the poor man who, with his bundle of Yerokis, with his bundle of greens and vegetables, got that fat ox to Beis Hamikdash as a korban, and how it was revealed from heaven that this poor offering was even more beloved by Hashem than the great fat ox and all the subsequent offerings of the rich person. This brought about within Rabbi Lezer Lippe and his wife a desire that Rabbi Lezer Lippe's livelihood, which was then from carrying water to rich people, that he exchanged four of the richest people with Rabbi Zalman Duif, who used to have a meager livelihood by carrying to the four shuls, and they exchanged it so that Rabbi Lezer Lippe would have this chus of providing water to the four Batei Knesiyos, albeit at a much lower rate, at about a third of the rate that he was getting for providing water to these four rich people. And all of this was done in addition to many, many other righteous good deeds, both by Rabbi Lezer Lippe and himself, so that they should merit that their children, Elimelech, who by now is going on 18, and Meshulam Zushia, who was now about bar mitzvah age, that they should find success in their learning. And thus it was that 2 years passed from the time that Rabbi Lezer Lippe and his wife would fetch water for the shuls, so that they merit that their children grow up the way they wanted them to grow up. And finally, after the passage of 2 years, when Elimelech is about 18 years old and Meshulam Zushia had his bar mitzvah, they tell their parents one day that they want to go off, leave the city of Tarnov, and go off and learn in the yeshiva. Notwithstanding the fact that the children had never seen any success in their learning, the parents readily agreed to the proposal, and they sent them off to learn. When the children went off to the yeshiva to learn, Rabbi Lezer Lippe's wife said to Rabbi Lezer Lippe that, why don't we take two children who are learning in the Talmud Torah and provide them with meals, and we should take care of them in the stead of that which it cost us to providing our children with meals while they were at home. And Rabbi Lezer Lippe liked the idea of his wife very, very much, and they both set about doing this immediately. As time passed, the parents, Rabbi Lezer Lippe and his wife, heard from a passerby that their children are indeed learning in a yeshiva, and they are finding success in their learning. Rabbi Lezer Lippe and his wife firmly believed that it was the merit of providing water to the four shuls and the merit of providing sustenance to these children who now took the place of Elimelech and Meshulam Zus in their home. And God had mercy upon them and illuminated the eyes of their children in this holy Torah, and they praised and they gave thanks to the Almighty at His great kindness that He did for them, enabling their children to begin understanding Torah and to serve Him properly. One Erev Shabbos, as Rabbi Elazar Lippe was filling his bucket from the river, he saw that there was a fish that entered the bucket. And this happened on an Erev Shabbos when already for many weeks neither fish nor meat had appeared on the table of Rabbi Elazar Lippe. And his wife, for his livelihood, had diminished greatly. And so Rabbi Elazar Lippe was very, very happy that he has a fish for Shabbos, and he brought it home and gave it to his wife that she prepare it, Lakovit Shabbos, in honor of Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar Lippe and the two children who were staying by them went to wash up for Shabbos, and his wife began to prepare the fish and cut it open, and as she cut open the belly of the fish, she saw that there was a beautiful precious stone in the fish, and she became very, very flustered. When Rabbi Elazar Lippe and the children came back from the merchitz, from the bathhouse, from the mikveh, he saw his wife very upset and asked her what happened. But at first she didn't want to say, but then she said, "You told me once that you heard from Rabbi Gedalia Melamed, who would speak before the unlearned people and would say Haggadah before them, that somebody who derives his livelihood from the toil of his hands, it's well for him and good for him both in this world and in the next world. And always, constantly, I bless God and thank Him that He gave us our sustenance a kosher manner by the toil of our hands. And many times I also went with you to help you with the water for the shul. There were times that I was able to do it, and times that you said that a woman doesn't have to do such type of labor. And now, the wife says, I'm afraid that you are going to find fault with your honorable labor, and you'll start doing business where it's not always kosher, and in business it's not always so easy to make a kosher living." Rabbi Elazar Lippe, who knew nothing about the precious stone, is wondering what his wife is talking about, and says, "What's today different than yesterday? You know, many times I had the possibility to start doing business, and I always rejected it because I wanted to earn the livelihood from the labor of my hands. And why all of a sudden are you afraid that I will do this and begin becoming a businessman?" And so his wife told him that she found this very, very precious stone in the belly of the fish. And when Rabbi Elazar Lippe heard about it and he saw this precious stone, he too became upset, remembering the story that he had once heard from Rabbi Gedalia about a certain Tana that from heaven they gave him a golden foot from one of the 4 feet, one of the legs of his table in Gan Eden. And when the woman saw that her husband also became upset, she said to him, "You know, soon Shabbos will be coming. Take away all types of sorrow from your heart. And after Shabbos, we'll get back into this. But meanwhile, let's get into the Shabbos spirit." During the Shabbos meal, Rabbi Elazar Lippe told his wife and to the lads that were with him the whole story that happened once with a certain Tana who was very, very poor, and he had a very, very righteous wife, but she couldn't take the poverty. And so Two, she couldn't take the great shame that all the women would be cooking and baking for Shabbos, and in her house there was nothing to cook and bake. And it happened one day that the woman said to the Tana, please ask Hashem that he give us our needs for our livelihood. And he prayed, and God sent them a leg of a golden table. And the woman saw in her dream that in the time to come, after 120 years, all the righteous tzaddikim are sitting by a golden table of three legs, while her husband, the Tana, only has two legs. And she asked her husband that please pray that in heaven they return the table back to its original placement with three legs, and that they don't need this golden leg. The entire Shabbos, Rabbi Lezer Lippe was thoroughly enjoying Oynik Shabbos, the delight of Shabbos, singing his mirrors as always, and as soon as Shabbos ended, however, he became very upset about finding this precious stone, and he said to his wife, take a look, God helped us to thank God. We heard good news about our children that they're succeeding in learning, and now from heaven they are thanking us. Let us be firm and strong and withstand this test. And his wife said to him, my husband, you are right, you are correct. When I was in the Rav's house, I remember that the Rabbonis once told the story that there was once a certain individual who traveled in the ship, and he had this very, very precious stone, and he too had a great test that happened to him. I don't remember exactly what, but he withstood the test and threw the stone into the sea. And because of withstanding the test, God gave him and his wife a wonderful child that happened to be Rashi, who was born in the merit of withstanding the test, who illuminated the whole world with his Torah. Let us too do so, said Rabbi Lesner Lippe's wife. Let's sell this precious stone, and all the money we will distribute to poor people in B'nai Torah, to scholars. What a good idea, Rabbi Lezer said to his wife. But first and foremost, we've got to notify the Rav. Because if somebody finds an object, the Beis Din, the court, is supposed to decree about this found object in all the shuls, and if somebody happened to lose it, it's returned to him, and it's a very big mitzvah. And if we don't do that, it would be thievery. So let me first go to the Rav to ask him a question, how we should behave ourselves, what should be our conduct. And we'll do as the Rav says. Rabbi Lezer Lippe went to the Rav, telling him that Erev Shabbos, he found this fish in the bucket, they opened the fish, and they found this precious stone, and he showed the Rav the stone, and he's asking the Rav, please do according to the din, that notify everybody that this object was found, maybe somebody lost it, and they'll perform the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, returning a lost object. The Rav answered Rabbi Lezer Lippe, and he said to him, yes, Rabbi Lezer Lippe, it's true that if somebody finds an object in the city or in the way where people may have lost it, and there may be a sign, you're supposed to announce it. And if somebody says where he lost it, and he gives a sign and definitive signs that this is his object, so then the person who lost the object gets it back. And the person who returns the object has performed the great mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, of returning a lost object. But in your circumstance, where you found this precious stone in the belly of a fish, it's not necessary that you announce it. Surely the fish swallowed it from the bottom of the river, and I'll be telling you that this is yours, and God provided you with a treasure that you may derive benefit, kosher manner, in a truly proper manner, but it's just proper, however, that miser, that one-tenth of this stone's worth, you should give to Tzedakah. Rabbi Lezer Lippe came home and he told his wife everything that the Rav had said about this precious stone. And Rabbi Lezer Lippe and his wife decided to sell the precious stone and the money of the value to give to tzedakah, keeping nothing for themselves, half for B'nai Torah, and half for the poor people. With great joy, Rabbi Elazar Lipp and his wife divided the money as they decided, and he went back to being a simple, impoverished water carrier. A year or so passed, and Rabbi Elimelech, their oldest son, notified them that he found a match with one of the balabatim, with one of the householders, who took him as an edim, and he's going to provide kest, he's going to provide for him for many years, that he should be able to sit and learn. And Rabbi Elazar Lipp and his wife were overjoyed about this good news, and they thanked God from the depths of their heart for this good news. Their younger son, Rabbi Meshulam Zosia, came from the yeshiva with a very good name, and everybody saw that he was truly a scholar and a God-fearing person, and a wonderfully good and kind and benevolent individual. On Rabbi Meshulam Zosia's return, he honored very much the young lads who were learning Torah, that were staying in his parents' house, and he would learn with them additionally to their learning in the yeshiva. And many times, although his father did not want it, he would help his father to bring water to the city. And when his father strenuously objected that he actually bring the water to the city, he would help his father draw the water from the river, and the father, Rabbi Elazar Lipp, would bring the water to the city. But Meshulam Zosia stayed at home for about a half year, after which he went back to learn Torah in the yeshiva. And the parents, Rabbi Elazar Lipp and his wife, are overjoyed about the good news they keep on receiving about their children. Once, when Rabbi Elazar Lipp was drawing water from the river, he felt something hard between his toes. He lifted up his feet to take out that which was stuck between his toes, and he noticed that it's a golden coin. He bent over, and he saw that within the river, where he is standing, there is an earthen vessel, a broken earthen vessel, completely filled with gold and silver coins. He dug around the place, and he took out the gold and silver coins, opened up his garments, and placed in the treasure, and filled up his barrels with water, came to the city. After concluding his labor of distributing the water, he came home and he tells his wife that again he found the treasure. Rabbi Elazar Lipp and his wife were once again very, very upset that heaven keeps on giving them these overwhelming and great tasks, and they strengthen themselves to withstand the Nisoyin, to withstand the tests that God seems to keep on giving them. And so they hid the treasure in the cellar of their house, and they decided to start distributing anonymously lots and lots of tzedakah. Meshulam Zosia, their younger son, by then was also taken by one of the important balabatim, who promised to give him for many years, provide him with sustenance for many years, so that he should be able to sit and learn Torah. Rabbi Elazar Lipp and his wife were overjoyed at the good news, and they praised God for his kindness with them. Another 5 years passed, and Rabbi Elazar Lipp is already becoming quite old, and the water carrying became quite difficult for him. So Rabbi Elazar Lipp took one of the people of the city, giving him over his entire business with the condition that he have a part in this business. As the Rav would say, what percentage should remain for Rabbi Elazar Lipp? And Rabbi Elazar Lipp and his wife lived very, very, very poorly, because now their sustenance was even less, and they keep on giving tzedakah with the money which they had from this treasure, and nobody knows about their anonymous charitable giving. At that time, Rabbi Lezer Lippa's uncle, Rabbi Avrom Leib, became ill with the illness with which he would die from. Rabbi Avrom Leib had no children, and so he gave all his possessions and all the money that he had to Rabbi Lezer Lippa and Rabbi Lezer Lippa's children, because Rabbi Avrom Leib as well was overjoyed that he had great nephews that were great Torah scholars and God-fearing individuals. Rabbi Lezer Lippa and his wife gave over their house, their little house in the city, to the person who was doing the water carrying for them, with the condition that as long as he's going to be occupying himself with this task, he should also take care of the four shuls to provide water for the four shuls. While Rabbi Lezer Lippa and his wife took their possessions and the rest of the treasure, and they lived and they moved over to the house of their uncle Rabbi Avrom Leib in the large house which they had now inherited close to the year of Tarnov. Rabbi Lezer Lippa and his wife lived there, not only themselves, but they brought many families, Talmidei Chachomim, and they and their families and their households and their children lived in the houses which were in that villa, in the estate. All of them were provided with plots of land to sow vegetables, and the other land surrounding the estate, which was also owned by Rabbi Avrom Leib, was given out for half profit to sharecropping to the various farmers, as well as the mill, which was rented out to the people. And Rabbi Lezer Lippa's children, who, of course, by now you understand, were the great Rabbonim Tzadikim, who were known as the Tzadikim Rabbi Lemelech and Rabbi Zusha, and their householders came to their father and mother to live over there. Rabbi Lezer Lippa and his wife were already older, deriving truly great Yiddish nachas, seeing what children they have, goyim and tzaddikim, truly holy individuals. And the Rebbe, the Chassidic Rebbe, concludes this story by saying, this is the reward of Jewish men and women who serve God with tzmimus, with wholeheartedness, that they merit, that they have children who are renowned, children who learn Torah and are God-fearing, deriving from them true eternal Yiddish nachas.